Okay, good morning. Excellent. Okay, I'm very reliant on technology this morning. It's just who I am. Seriously, it's the way I communicate, lots of visuals and things like that. And I do apologise to anyone who's listening to the audio recording of this later on in the week, having not seen this presentation. I will try maybe to get that link out on the email so that you can at least have some idea of what's going on. So my theme this morning is growing younger as children of God. Obviously, growing younger is a theme that we have as a church at the moment. And Stefan asked me to come and speak about something that I'd learned in the last 6 months. And I did think about all the things that I could talk about and the practical things. But my life at the moment really revolves quite a lot around learning the hard way how to be a parent. And I spend a lot of time watching this particular cartoon with Luke. It's his favourite one. It's called Hey Dougie. Anyone know it? Well, Hey Dougie. Dougie is that big brown friendly dog there. That's a dog, by the way. And these creatures underneath are almost like a family together. They go to a club that Dougie runs, and he gives them all sorts of fun activities to do together. And every week they earn a badge for their activities that they've done that particular week. And I've learned the names of every single one of these characters, and I've learned all about their likes and dislikes. So I could tell you all about that, but come see me afterwards if you really want to know those facts. But they're going to be popping up in the presentation, because why not? Understand that if I press the right button here, yes, excellent. Okay, I'm going to tell you a little bit about my family, though. So this was my mum and dad on their wedding day, sheltering under an umbrella in the rain, taking this photo outside the church. And my family became us there, my brothers. That's me. There we are again. That's also me. I apparently didn't enjoy having my photo taken at that point in time. But this is one of my family now, and Luke's just down here on the front, and that's us together. And being a new dad and being asked to preach means that I can take the new dad role and tell some dad jokes. Being me, though, I'm going to take it to the geeky version. So memes are jokes that are on the internet, so here we go. So today at church, a guy in a suit tried to drown me. And I kid you not, my family just stood there taking pictures. So then I said, no, this little piggy is going to the bar. And my favourite. There can be only one. It's your siblings, isn't it? It's what you do to each other. My parents tell me a story that when I was younger and my baby brother just arrived home from the hospital, they found me sitting on him at one point. But he survived to tell the tale. So growing younger as children of God. So what does the Bible say about that? It'd be good to start there, wouldn't it, rather than just hearing me prattle on about my own thoughts. I don't know if you're like me when it comes to the Bible. I go through different sort of phases as how I think about it. And you might have come to the Bible from all sorts of different perspectives. You might have this kind of attitude from good old Indiana Jones there. This belongs in a museum. Perhaps you're very good at the Bible, and you know when someone's quoting something that isn't from it. So when one door closes, another one... It might open, it might not, but that's not in the Bible. Or perhaps you're like this guy. You can't get confused by the Bible if you never read the Bible. But hopefully we're going to be a bit more like Luke in the way that he approaches reading, with utter joy. There he is enjoying his book on the farm. So let's take that kind of attitude, if we can, to looking at something from the Bible about this topic. So in the book of John, which is probably written by one of Jesus' closest friends, we read this. The true light, that's Jesus, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to everyone who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, or the will of man, but of God. So this is God's message to us. This is what he wants us to take on board, that Jesus came for a purpose. Jesus came for the express purpose of giving us the right, the authority, the power to become children of God. This is a marked contrast to the way that other ancient religions would portray the relationship between gods and humanity. In some ancient Babylonian texts, we would read that the gods had created man to do all the hard work, like digging ditches and things, that to irrigate the crops. And basically, humankind, in their minds, were slaves of the gods up above. But God doesn't want us to have that kind of false understanding of who he is and how he feels about us. No, he sends Jesus with the mission of providing a way for us to become his children, to enter into his family. We know about God being not just one, but three, being the Father, being the Son, and being the Holy Spirit. This family of love has been around for all eternity. And it's that family that God wants to draw us into. It's the way he's made us to have the ability to become like him. That's right, Luke. To become children who know their Father and know the love of their Father. As I said, in Dougie, every episode they earn a badge. That badge is given to them for something that they've done. And Dougie's pretty generous, really. He doesn't require a huge amount, but he does require some kind of response to an activity that will earn that badge. But the badge that you might try and earn through religion is really worthless. For a start, we could never achieve everything that we could want to become perfect like Jesus, to become part of the family of God. So instead, God has made it possible for us to have that without having to earn it. And it's through Jesus that we get that. And so we look in Galatians, we see that Paul picks up the same theme here, and he says, so in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God, not through the stuff that you do, not through achievements or by being a certain level of goodness, it's through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. That's the closest I could get to baptism from Dougie. So the result of that, Paul goes on, is to say there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, there's no male or female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, there's lots of concepts in there which would take a lot to unpack. I'm not going to go through all of them there. So like being a child of Abraham, you need to understand the sort of history of where the Jews had come from and how they'd related to God all that time to get to this point. But these contrasts he's doing, the Jew, Gentile, slave, free, male, female, these are the ways that we divide ourselves up. And even now in society, we divide ourselves up into different boxes, and we like to put ourselves in the box of, you know, white, middle class, educated, me, and we distinguish ourselves between people who are in different classes, who come from different ethnic backgrounds, who speak different languages. But Paul's wanting to draw us back to the fact that because we are children of God, one God, we are all equal. It is an equal playing field. The way that God feels about you, the way that God sees you, the way that God relates to you is not going to be prejudiced by your background, by your language, by your culture, by your level of education, by any of those standards. So the way that we judge each other in the world is not the way that God judges us. It's not the way he sees us. He has made a way for us all to have an equal standing with him. So that's what two passages in the New Testament are saying. And just in case that we have this kind of attitude to the Old Testament, the first part of the Bible, let's go and look at what we can find there. Now, just a quick search, and you instantly find little things like this. So in the middle of Isaiah, great book, and it talks a lot about Jesus coming in the future, we find, yet you are Lord, our Father. That concept is buried right in the Old Testament, and all the way through, God is trying to relate to people on that level. Likewise, we find in Jeremiah, God saying a pleading with the Israel. At this time, he's saying, look, how gladly I would treat you like my children. And a bit later on, he says, I thought you would call me Father. This is the heart that God has for us. It's longing to be known by us as Father, or even more intimately, as Dad. That's the relationship he wants to have. He wants us to look at him and smile and beam, knowing that we are his children, knowing that he loves us. And this is the way I see Luke. I look at what he's doing, whatever it is he's doing, it doesn't matter what he's doing, I look at him and I have love for him. You know, whether he's trying to pull a 500 kilo horse along, which he did, whether he's helping in the garden, clearing up, whether he's helping in the bathroom, clearing up, whether he's helping with the plants, watering them, it doesn't matter what he's doing. I love him and I want to be a part of his life and in relationship with him. So he's probably telling me to get on with it and talk a bit more about Jesus. I could have talked to you, and I could have shown you loads of photos. I've got tens of thousands now, but let's move on. So Jesus really brings home that there is something about being a child of God and about having the attitude of a child towards God that's really important. So in Mark, it records that they, that's the crowd, were just bringing children to him, Jesus, that he might touch them. And the disciples rebuked them because, you know, children were not seen as very important. They were wasting time. You know, if Jesus is spending all this time looking at the children and talking to them and playing with them and stuff like that, he's not preaching and doing the important work, right? But Jesus saw this and he was indignant. And he said to his disciples, let the children come to me. Do not hinder them. Don't stop them. For to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, Jesus says, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. So actually, far from being a distraction to the important work that Jesus was doing, these children that were coming up and wanting to get close to him were actually benefiting those present, because they were modeling the kind of attitude that we should have towards the things that God says to us and the way that God wants to relate to us. So we can learn a lot from children and the way that we can relate to God in the same way. In fact, let's just have a little look at Lukey as he's here. Hey, Luke. Come on. Because this is what Jesus did. He literally, at one point, also in Mark, people were arguing about who was the greatest in the kingdom of God. You know, is it the prophets? Is it people like Moses and Elijah? Is it Abraham? Who are the great heroes? Is it Deborah? You know, is it people who have conquered their enemies like David, or is it, well, Jesus picks up a child and he says, guys, this is what I want to see. People who receive children. We're not trying to argue about who's the best at this, that, and the other, but people who are just looking around and going, wow, God's world is amazing. Look at what he's given us. How's it going, Luke? Right? It's very bright up here, isn't it? So, children of God, then, are loved by the Father, by the Son, and the Spirit. I really want to emphasize all three here. This is all three persons of the Trinity, the three parts of God, all love every single one of his children. So receive that love. That's my first point of application. Just first of all, before you start doing anything, before you try and work out anything that God is doing in your life at the moment, receive the love of God. And enjoy being with God and doing things together. This was Luke and I sharing a nice lolly. She thought was amazing. Children of God, secondly, love the Father, the Son, and the Spirit in return. So the way we do that is with the words that we say to God, the thoughts that we have, the things that we let stay in our mind and dwell on, and our actions, the way that we use our time, the way that we use our money, all these things are the ways that we show God's love, just as you would use all those three, you know, all those things when you're showing love to a partner or to your own children. It's time, isn't it? So important spent with that person. It's the words that you say to them, it's the gifts that you give them, and it's all that coming together. Thirdly, children of God have many siblings. Just take a quick look around this room here and the people that you're sitting next to. Because, again, coming back to that passage earlier from Paul, everybody who has trusted in Jesus has become a child of him, which means we are all brothers and sisters. So love your brothers and sisters. And I've experienced the love of the people in this church over the years that my wife and I have been coming here, and it's been a real blessing to be part of this community. I miss being in church. If forever, even if I'm just on holiday and you think I'd be having a wonderful time, and I often am, but if I miss a church meeting, it's a part of my week's gone. It feels really weird. It doesn't quite line up, because I love seeing everyone here and hearing about your lives and how you're doing. And we encourage one another, and through the week we send each other messages, and it's particularly sort of that closeness particularly comes out as well if you're serving together. So with the worship group and with the youth team that I am part of, we're always messaging each other during the week. And then the man stuff activities are led as well brilliantly month to month by Mark and Craig. These opportunities for us to see each other outside of this building as well really help to build community. And then we had the one-offs as well. So a few of us went off to London a few weeks back for a conference then, so I had a great time chatting. We feel like married on the train, and we don't see each other that much during the rest of the week. So it's great to have that opportunity just to get away together as brothers and sisters. That's sibling love there. And so, just a few more thoughts about the way that we might live that out and try and apply that. Ephesians, and sorry again if there's so many different verses in this. Again, if I get the presentation during the week, you'll be able to look this up at your own time and read through it. So Ephesians, Paul says again, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. So the example of God that Paul is referring to is Jesus. That is God coming and showing us and living the life that he wants us to live. And Jesus held nothing back from those that he was with. He didn't hold back his own life in the end. That's the self-sacrificial love that God is calling us to. As his children, we love. So we don't love to become his children. We don't have to do that first. But having been loved by him, having experienced that love, having been transformed by that love, then we love others. I seem to be having a lot of Paul today. But there's so much in his letters that I find really brilliant because he applies the stuff that we see in the gospel. So we learn about what Jesus did, what that means, and then Paul applies it. He says, do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. So he's saying that we'll actually stand out from those around us by loving and by doing things really practically, like not grumbling or arguing. And this is really simple, isn't it? It's what I love about the Christian life. Is actually we might think it's all about becoming really good theologians, learning Greek, Hebrew, and getting into the Bible and expanding. That's how you become an amazing Christian. Well, that can be really useful, but the crux of the matter, the is that being a Christian is about really simple things. It's really simple things which are really hard to do. In fact, almost impossible. So when I look at myself and I go, oh, wonderful selfie of my family, we all love each other, yet do I do everything without grumbling or arguing? Now, I'm almost hesitant to look at Nadine at the moment because, no, I'm rubbish at that. I don't do everything without grumbling or arguing. I'm terrible. This is something I need God to help me change. Well, that's okay, because one does not simply become perfect overnight. You're going to have to... Now, what are you waiting to see what I'm going to say? You're going to have to work really hard. No. There will be some hard work, but you can't start with the hard work. Well, if you do, like me, you'll realize that your hard work isn't going to be enough on its own. You're going to have to ask for help and pray. All the things that you're trying to do, you start with the prayer first, and we've had that whole prayer course, haven't we? Which is about, a lot of it is about asking for help. It's about asking for what you need. And one of the things that I picked up from that prayer course was I don't pray that often. So I thought, how can I have a really simple way of reminding myself to pray? Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes you have things lying around in your house and you see them and you think, oh, that's in an odd place. I wonder if that should be there. And one of the things that I find a lot around the place are hairbands. And they're not mine, because I haven't really got enough hair to put in hairbands. And not Luke's, because he hasn't got enough either. But hairbands are something that I don't use, but I see around my house and car and things like that. And I thought, tell you what, rather than just look at them and go, that's something I don't use, I maybe could put it away, I'll actually pray every time I see a hairband. Okay? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not getting down on my knees there and then and spending 15 minutes in thoughtful, contemplative prayer. But I am just reminding myself, actually, yeah, quickly, let's check in with God. Let's check in, have a quick conversation. Let's thank him for something that's going on right now, or let's ask him for something that I need. And if you remember in the prayer course, Pete was talking about the domino stacking. So when you've got something that you're praying for and you've been praying for a long time, it feels like, oh, another prayer, still haven't got the answer. But he says, no, it's more like stacking up dominoes. At one point, One of them will tip, and the whole lot will come down. But until that point, you just stack another domino, stack another domino. So every time I see a hairband, I'm putting another little prayer up there. And so these things that I'm thinking about, which are long-term prayers, get prayed for. Those people that I know of who need prayer for particular things. So if someone's got a health problem and they've asked me to pray for it, I see a hairband, I go, yeah, pray. Maybe you can do that. Maybe it's not hairbands for you, but whatever it is, think about little tricks like that can help you just to ask one more thing. Okay? Well, I'm actually looking at the clock now, and it's telling me that very soon we have to go and pick up our children. But I've been telling, I've been speaking this morning about what it's like to be children of God and growing younger. Now, growing younger, as I think Sarah's alluded to just earlier on in her introduction, doesn't mean that we need to replace all the old folks with new folks, although that is going to happen, but it actually means older folks learning what it means to be children and to receive God in that way. And children are not afraid to ask for help. They're very trusting. They tend to trust before they obey, don't they, Luke? Obedience is not necessarily the strong point of a child yet, but they grow in that. But trust really is very, very strongly embedded in a child, especially towards their parents. And I think that's what God's really wanting to get us to the point where we can trust him and over time slowly turn that trust into obedience. But I'll wrap up now because I don't have anything particularly more to say. But just take those points. God, one, as children of God, we are loved. Two, as children of God, we love him back. And three, as children of God, we have many siblings here and we love each other as a result. So there is just time. Yeah, you really want this clicker, don't you, Luke? There is just time for one more thing. Dougie hugs. Every episode of Dougie ends in a hug as they say goodbye before they go off back to their parents. And if this is particularly relevant to you, for whatever reason, I'd like you to just take a moment of quiet now and think, and to ask God for him to show you his love in the form of a hug this morning. Whether that's because you're going through a tough time, with whatever it might be in your life at the moment or the lives of someone close to you, whether it's because you've never let God in. Maybe you heard about him, maybe this is something that you have thought about, but you've never let Jesus be a part of your life yet. Well, this morning you can. And as I say, it starts not by you earning a badge. It starts by you just receiving Jesus and saying, yes, actually, come and love me that I can start loving you back. So just have a little moment of quiet. You can close your eyes if that helps you. You can focus on the screen if that image helps you. And then I'll just pray. Father God, I thank you that you love every one of us. And I thank you that you have made us able to know you personally. And I want to pray, Father, for anyone who's in this room who needs a hug from you. I pray, Father, that they would feel your love for them. That they would hear the words of affirmation that you want to speak over their life. and that they would feel ready to come to you and ask for the things, the practical things that they might need at this time. And Lord, I also want to pray for those who maybe here have never let you come in and be close to them and intimate with them before. Maybe they've been outside the church. Maybe they're new to the whole idea of faith and knowing you. I thank you, Father, that you love them enough to bring them here this morning, and you want them to know that you love them and they can be part of your family. So if anyone is like that, just receive God in your life. Know that Jesus died for you, that there is forgiveness for anything that you might have done. Receive that forgiveness and live a new life with him. Amen.